6.06 on RTE 2FM with Griffith College. There's a bigger choice for a brighter future at Griffith College. Who do you want to be?
Hello and welcome to Countdown to 6.06, the exam programme team that is with you every step of the way as you plough your way through the next few weeks. This evening we are tackling, we're going to start with maths with John Brennan with us in studio. John, good evening to you.
Good evening, how are you?
Well, I'm fine.
I heard you were saying nasty things about me last night.
Ah, listen, John, you and I go back a long way.
Well, people will talk, Evelyn, if you don't like that.
I have a right to verbally abuse you to a certain level. Listen, John, of course, this will come from no surprise to you. Lots of texts and emails coming in about maths. Now, we must start by saying higher-level maths is taken by how? What is the percentage of students?
Well, percentage-wise, there's about 9,000 out of about 50,000.
Okay,
so it's about 18%.
Focusing on ordinary. With that in mind, we might start at the ordinary level.
Sure, yeah, because I mean, I don't know, Evelyn, it's the biggest exam.
Yeah,
the
okay.
more
well,
students doing it than anything
just,
else.
Let's just get in there, let's get going on it. Ordinary level, paper one. Just talk us through what are the questions that people should be looking out for at this point?
Well, I mean,
maybe might be more generous, might be kinder to them.
Question seven, the differential calculus one. I think that's the one you did the promo on.
That's
a great question. And, you know, a great one for settling people's nerves down. If they could, you know, practice that, do the last 3 or 4 years of that, practice it, it'll be fine. It has not changed in the last 14 years, so it's going to be fine. Question five, which is one probably a lot of them won't do, is a thing called arithmetic and geometric series. Very easy.
Why don't they do it?
Because I don't know. I think teachers don't like teaching it. And it's the terminology. So, I mean, you know, the teacher comes along, and I'm not blaming any teachers, but the terminology is a pain in the ass, TNs and SNs. And
but in fact, you're saying question five. Can they do it on their own at
this
point?
Could. Yes, they
really?
Could. Really? Yeah, they definitely could.
Okay, talk them through it.
Well, they need to know basically what a sequence is and what a series is. Okay, that's what they need to know. And then they need to know a thing called the general term. And they need to know how to add up the terms of this sequence or series. And there are only two types of sequence and series they can be asked. One of them are called arithmetic sequences, and the second one is called geometric sequences. Now, I genuinely would think that that's a good one.
Seven and five, then go to four. Then go to four. Okay, so four, we've got complex numbers.
Four complex numbers. And it's dead straightforward. You see, it depends who we're addressing. If you're talking a student who has dropped down from honours maths, they can hit this paper anyway. It doesn't matter. They can do everything on it, genuinely, because the paper is all algebra. But if you're talking to somebody who got, say, 25% in the
mock... I'm looking at somebody here who's just texted in saying, ordinary level maths, I want to pass it. I literally just want to get a D3 because I'm not relying on it for points, which is very common.
Yeah, and
but failure is the problem.
So
here.
Important, Evelyn.
You have to pass it.
You have to pass it. And if they go, and you know, I can absolutely, I put money on it. That person's algebra is pretty rubbishy. Okay.
Mm-mm.
So what you've got to do is you've got to steer them away from the sort of the conventional algebra, and steer them away from anything that's technically difficult.
So you're saying 7, 5, 4 work for you.
Okay. Then 1, 2, 3 probably.
So 7, 5, 4, 1, 2, 3.
One is arithmetic, and they're bound to get. It's not predictable.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not predictable, but they should be able to get. They should be able to eke something out of it. 2 and 3 are both algebra,
and
the first two bits of those are fine. You know, they'll get something out of it.
Part C is for the people who've nailed it, isn't
it? And the Part C's are sometimes daft.
And people waste a lot of time on Part C.
Yeah, they do.
They?
But I mean, sometimes the, you know, and I say this, I'm probably going to say it wrong, but sometimes the people who set these exams are not in touch with reality. I'm talking about ordinary level maths, because you've got to stand in front of a classroom and realise what the standard is like. And there have been questions on the ordinary level maths, which...
In Part C in particular?
In Part C's in particular.
Yeah.
Which a good... ex-honour student on a good day would have trouble with.
Okay,
so
but somebody who's only been ordinary level but maybe looking for a B could get tripped up by a Part C. Just walk away? Do you just leave it and move on?
The thing about it is this, really, I mean, one of the things that you should always say is the way they work is formulas. If there's a formula involved, writing it down, 3 marks. Okay, that's simple. Whether they give it in the tables or whether you have to know it off by heart, 3 marks. Okay, you fill it in, 7 marks. You tidy it up, 10 marks. So formula, fill it in, sort it out. 10 marks. And that applies right across the board. Doesn't matter whether it's coordinate geometry, doesn't matter whether it's differential calculus, doesn't matter whether it's volumes and areas, same thing, right across the board. The other thing too is, just another point as well, Evelyn, for the first time ever, on the front of the answer books last year, they said that if you didn't use the units, in other words, let's say you were given something and the answer was supposed to be in centimetres, if you didn't write the word centimetres down, you didn't get full marks.
If you didn't specify.
If they give you units, you must use the units.
Okay, question in from Gillian. I need to pass maths and I've heard sequences and series is one of the most easy questions on the paper, but is there a chance they could change the level of difficulty of this question this year since it's always been a nice question?
Is she doing ordinary or higher?
Doesn't say. Looks like ordinary.
Ordinary is fine. That's what I said to you. They could pick up 40 out of the 50 marks handy, Evelyn, just on limited amount of knowledge. Knowing four formulas, that's how big it is. That's how big.
Really.
If he's doing higher maths, I'd strongly go for the same thing, sequences and series as well. It's easy.
Okay, so paper one, you're saying in order, 7, 5, 4, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I would go. I mean, other people might say, the reason why I don't recommend 6 and 8 is that, okay, the beginnings are easy, but the amount of knowledge they have to do the part C's is, in my opinion, way beyond what the ordinary punter can do.
Okay, brings through to paper two then, in ordinary level. We'll go back to our higher level.
Ordinary level, I mean, paper two is grand. Paper two is going to cause them no difficulty whatsoever because it starts off with an area and volume question. It'll always be area, Simpson's rule and volume. And they get 20 marks for the Simpson's rule thing for basically writing down the formula, filling it in and working it out. 20 marks.
They're there taking.
It's a no-brainer. They normally find it difficult in the part C of these things with the volumes of cones and stuff like that. They shouldn't worry about it. They should only worry about the second part of the part C. Second question is the line. The thing about them with the line is this.
But
one of the problems is they can ask it in two ways. One of the ways is if it's based on points, then it's formula. You just bang the points into the formulas and work them out, okay? But if it's based on, if they give you two lines, then it's not formula. You've got to know about the properties of lines, how to find the slope of them, where they cut each other, where they cut the x-axis. So it is very important that, you know, you just don't learn off your formulas and hope that it'll be all on points. It won't. Knowing this crowd, this examinations commission have decided not to be predictable. And that applies, by the way, just particularly to the junior certs. Okay. Particularly to the junior certs, yep.
Okay, question three, the circle.
Yeah, it's grand. The only difficult thing in it is where a line cuts a circle. Learn it off by heart. You'll get 20 marks for doing the same thing on paper one and paper two. So where a line cuts a circle, you'll be asked to do that. Okay?
Okay, then we're into geometry. You don't
Forget
recommend
it.
This.
Absolutely. Don't go within an ass's row.
10 theorems, whatever. Right, trigonometry.
Lovely. The worst question done on the exam, right? The worst one. And the results in it are low, between 25 and 30 marks out of 50. Kids hate it. All right? They really hate it. So really what the way you should summarise it is this. Right angle, triangle. And they know the rhymes for that, the old silly old Harry's, all that sort of stuff. Then they need to know the sine rule, the cosine rule. Okay? That will do an awful lot of it. That genuinely will do an awful lot. So the old right angle, triangle, the sine rule, the cosine rule, and probably something to do with an area of a sector or a length of an arc. But the questions are not difficult. You'll get 30 out of 50 in that, really knowing not an awful lot. But a lot of teachers don't teach it. And a lot of students don't. It's one of the most left out questions on the exam.
And yet you reckon it's one that's...
I reckon it's okay. I mean, you see, I reckon any question's okay that doesn't involve 10 lines of algebra for an ordinary punter, because you've got to keep thinking their algebra is not good. Okay, it's not. If their algebra is good, they'd be
doing.
You're
trying to box around very heavy algebra here.
You're trying to get them to avoid having to solve a quadratic equation. And the bottom line is this: is that about 7 out of 10 of them can't solve a quadratic equation using factors. And if they could, they'd be doing honors maths. Okay,
right. So no. Thyself.
Know your limits.
Question six, probability, permutations and combinations.
Again, a lot of students don't like it. One of the reasons they don't like it is they don't know how they're going to get the attempt marks.
But do you think it's a nice question if you're willing to put work into it?
I think it's a nice question, but again, I sound as if I'm beating on teachers here. I'm not. You know, probability is one of the things that, you know, is... People don't like teaching it because you could have a stand-up argument whether it's 1 over 7 or 2 over 3 or what the flipping probability is, and you know, and then somebody says, but what if it's this? And all of a sudden the class, you know, descends into mayhem. It has to be structured and they must know about their permutations. Do it. Combinations, learn them, and then do the probability. But it's so important that you tell the guy who's correcting the exam, look, this is what I'm doing here. So in other words, if they want to find the number of ways of choosing four things from 10 things, you write down 4, you know, 10, choose 4. and then you write down 10C4. One of the things that it's important, if they write down something like 10C4 and they don't work it out, they're not going to get full marks. So they must work the thing out.
6-0-6.
Question 7, statistics.
Okay, nice question. They'll all do it. Every single one of them will do it. And, you know, what they need to be aware of is they're going to get asked a histogram. They're going to get asked a thing called an ogive curve. Grand question. There's a lovely way of doing the standard deviation, which is not the way in all the textbooks. There's a really easy way. And if they go to leavingcert.ie, they can download it. Okay?
That site again?
That's leavingcert.ie. Thank you, Evelyn. You're so good. But it's a real quick way. It's a one-line way, all in the calculator. And it's not one of these things where they bury the answer in the calculator and they get no marks. It's actually, they write down the stuff and then they press the buttons. And it's fantastic. So it works really, really well.
Question 8, avoid, you think?
The plague. Don't be, you know, if you want to beat yourself over the back, you know, with a brush of thorns, do question 8.
Question 9, best kept secret on the paper.
Yes, vectors, they should all be doing it. Absolutely all doing it. It's really easy. It's really the amount you can teach it in about an hour and a quarter.
Can you tackle it yourself at home at this point?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You just need to. It's divided into two bits. If they can do complex numbers, because they know about the I's and, you know, the I's, the I's and the real numbers, they can do the I's and J's. And the only difficulty they have is a bit where they're adding two vectors or writing a vector one in terms of another. A bit of work. I promise you, a bit of work. And it's quick. It's a short question. It's a 20 minute question, whereas the linear programming one is a full 40 minutes or more.
Okay, question 9. That was 9. 10.
Ten is what...
For the sequences
no,
and series.
No, what it's like the plague. It's terrible results in it in the exam. Average mark in it's less than 20 out of 50.
And again, a nasty part C.
Oh, rotten part C altogether. Yeah, no. I mean, you'd be daft to even think of doing it.
Okay, and finally, linear programming.
Most popular question on the exam. It is the most popular one of the options that they have to do.
Well, it must be easy then if they like that one.
They don't, but the success rate in it is only 32 out of 50. So there's something wrong somewhere. So what I would suggest there is that if they're having trouble with the linear programming, and this examinations commission now are starting to get a bit cute, they're starting to, you know, do the linear programming question, but we'll ask maybe a little bit of a sort of a supplementary question at the end of it, which most of them don't do. If they're doing okay in linear programming at the moment, then if it ain't broke, don't fix it, okay? But vectors is an option if you're not doing well at linear programming.
6-0-6.
Well, honours maths, John, they're coming in fast and furious here. They just want tips, basically.
Of course.
you don't have tip. The paper in front
no,
of you.
No, but I have the best tip.
Okay.
Go onto the examinations.ie website.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Chief Examiner's Reports and get your hand on the 2005 higher level Chief Examiner's Report. Don't download it all, but download the bit that says Candidates' Weaknesses. And I promise you, that's the best set of tips you'll ever get your hands on. Because what they're inclined to do is they're inclined to ask things that were badly done last year and the year before, and they keep asking them until we get them right. Now, one of the things that in trigonometry they talk about are half angles. You absolutely can sing it. It's going to come up in the trigonometry, half angles. And the thing about half angles, they're not in page 9 of the tables. There's only two A's and A's. So they're going to have to learn how to change from A's to A over 2's. Very important. But there's a page there. I think it's page 74.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. And it has all the candidates' weaknesses on the two. Now, it's the 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to digress for a moment, the Honours Junior Cert, they should do the same thing, because there's the Chief Examiner's Report from the 2006 Honours Junior Cert Maths. Get your hands on it, folks, and look at the weaknesses. Look at what it says, because, you know, they like to see us improving. That's why they keep asking us things that we're weak at until we get them better.
Okay, talking just quickly there in Junior Cert, Jason wants to know how much time should I spend on each question in Junior Cert Honours Maths?
Well, you've got 2.5 hours. You've got 20.
Loads of time.
Exactly, loads of time. Yeah. 20. It's 25 minutes per question. That's basically it. And, you know, 1 minute equals 2 marks. That's the way it works. There's 150 minutes and they've got to get 300 marks. The thing about the Honours Junior Cert, Evelyn, is that they have to do every question. So anything that's left out is marks away. With the Leaving Cert, they have a choice of 6 out of 8. Now, I just wanted to come back to one thing, this option thing on the Leaving Cert, but higher and ordinary. They must be good at that, because any marks that are lost there, they can't make them up anywhere else. And I saw a situation where a very, very good student failed an exam, failed it. Now, he was good and deserved to pass, because he made a mess of the option question. So they must do the option question, whether they're higher or they're ordinary level maths. It's called an option. It's the only compulsory question on the paper.
Hi, I'm doing ordinary level maths for the junior cert and I was wondering for question 6, paper 1, you can type in the details of the graph on new calculators and how do you show that you did on the calculators or do you just use for making sure the graph is correct?
Use it for making sure the graph's correct. There's a very simple thing with the junior cert. Show your work. And
show, actually,
in fact, if you again go back, get them to get these chief
examiner
reports.
Keep writing down all the steps you're taking.
Because if you don't, it's marks away. And units as well. If they leave out the units, they're going to lose marks. So centimetres, centimetres squared, litres, all that sort of stuff. Make sure you put them in.
Can you use the new Casio calculator in the exam? It can do integration and differentiation from Rory.
Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. It's approved.
You don't sound convinced.
I think they Casio put it, gave it to the examinations commission and they initially rejected it. But then, you see, to be honest with you, which Casio? Because there's
the one
that
your granny buys you the night before to wish you luck.
The one with the thing about it is, the one that when you turn
it
on.
You've never used before till you sit there in the exam and you realise it's solar powered.
Some of them, when you turn them on, they heat up the room. There's that time. But no, there is a Casio that will do quadratic equations, will do simultaneous
and
equations.
And that's allowed.
Now, the bottom line is, if you use the calculator, right, mm-hmm. and it gives you the answer, which it will, you then have to verify that
your
the
journey.
Answer works in the original question.
Okay.
All right, so that's integration. I don't know, but something. Maybe it does. It probably does.
Rory says it.
I haven't seen that. I'd say Rory's going to probably be able to sell those tomorrow in school.
Doing higher level maths, my algebra is good enough. I'd say there's probably leaving cert. We don't have enough done in class to give us a choice. I can't really do trigonometry. How much should I know in this topic?
Say, give me all that again in English.
Somebody's not good at algebra.
Somebody's not good at algebra.
Doing higher level maths.
Well, you know, that's like sort
can't
of, you know.
Can't do trigonometry.
That's like, you know, can't
Knock,
do trigonometry. What I would say is, look, you just pick the questions, concentrate on your best ones, and after that, you know, and if the worst comes to the worst, consider the blue paper on the day.
Hi, can you please help me? I'm doing honours maths. I'm not choosing my questions before I go in, and I'm behind on theorems. Are there any that I should concentrate on at this point?
Well, he's looking for tips. Right. If they're doing a question on the first paper which involves learning a theorem, then by heavens, if you've decided to do a particular question, then you must know the theorem in the question, okay? Somebody's talking about the cosine rule this year as being likely cos A minus B. Somebody said it's likely as well. I don't know. I don't endorse any of these things. The only thing is, you know, if you're following the coordinate geometry proofs, the one that hasn't been asked in ages is the AX1 plus BY1 plus C over the square root of A squared plus B squared. And it's a div of a proof. Don't go in. The other thing too is the delta x method for doing the product rule is much easier. And somebody also said that there's a possibility of a proof in the difference equation.
Hi, Evelyn. Dee here. Well done at the show. Thanks, Dee. So your question's getting read. I'm just wondering how many proofs do we need to know for leaving cert higher level maths? Also, is it risky to only have 6 questions prepared to answer on each paper? Thanks a mil.
Yes, it is risky, first of all. And again, going back to what I said already, if you're doing a question that has a potential proof in it, know the proof. Don't go in there assuming that you're going to wing it. You won't.
6-0-6. 6-0-6.